There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. We're qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 522, August 25th, 2011. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the donation button. Look at it on the front page of the F1 Weekly website. Click on it. Donate. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, Nick Heidfeld, you fired. Senna won't last at Renault either. The host is back in town. And of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid. And no, I will not talk about Tom Cruise and his Formula One debut.
Too late, you just did.
Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Absolutely outstanding, refreshed, had plenty of fromage, saucisson. Le pinard est obligatoire, as we say in my neck of the woods. But yeah, feeling great. We got Spa, and of course, we've got Nick Heidfeld out of the car because I think Smokey Bear showed up.
Sure, you sure they weren't just listening to us?
Well, they're going to the Ardennes Forest. You know, and he's just a fire hazard.
True.
So we've got Bruno Senna, who obviously brought some...
At least a little bit of money with him.
He brought some cash.
Enough for four or five races, anyway.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if he's going to be in four or five races, but let's say he's in for Spa. Let's not jump to conclusions, because he could turn out to be a big disaster. He hasn't driven, I believe, since Hungary in 2010. I could be wrong, but still, you know, man, that's a problem with no testing.
Yeah, you've got basically they're going to come in cold. All he's going to get are, you know, is Friday practice.
Yeah. So it's brutal on Senna, but also, so far, he hasn't shined the way you would expect a Senna would.
No. And, you know, even though he was in an HRT, he wasn't trouncing his teammate. So
no. We'll see what happens. But still, Renault had to. They have to start rolling the dice and taking some chances. Now, I admit Nick Heidfeld had more points than Vitaly Petrov. But in the end, Vitaly brings a lot of rubles to the team. The team needs the money. They have some budgetary concerns. And Bruno is bringing some money. Nick Heidfeld, not the leader that they expected from the German. And,
no.
You know, I don't see why they expected him to be leader-esque, like Robert Kubica is, or Fernando.
Because he never was where he was before, so
I don't know. It was a gamble. He was there. He was available. They went for it, and this is what happens.
Yeah, but is it the smartest move outside of the money, considering they're trying to catch Mercedes?
I agree, and Mercedes is going to be tough to catch. And Bruno Senna better do well, or it's going to be Romain Grosjean sooner than later.
Yeah, well, the way Romain's going, you know, unless Bruno's bringing lots of cash, Romain's going to be in before the end of the season.
Right. And on the other hand, Nick Heidfeld is not going down without a fight.
Oh, did he lash out?
Well, he did lash out a little bit. He's not a happy camper. Of course, his people are calling Renault F1's people, and there's a lot of argument. Of course, there's going to be a cash settlement. But Nick Heidfeld,
basically the rest of his contract for the year.
Exactly. So there's really not much he can do. But at least he'll get a nice severance package.
He'll basically get the rest of his salary for the season.
Correct. So
that's what contracts are all about.
Yeah, and you know, I certainly don't want to be the one to knock Nick Heidfeld, but he's at the end of his career. I still think he has a chance to become a test driver or reserve driver at Mercedes.
Good chance there. He could easily be racing in DTM. You know, he's got enough credibility from his years in Formula One to do that. You know, there BTCC if he really wants, or he could just retire and farm strudel.
I agree. So we'll see what happens. Renault has also decided to stick with their forward-facing exhaust system for the rest of the season. They did experiment with rear-facing exhausts. And, of course, there was no advantage.
There was no improvement in performance.
And, of course, Eric Boullier is trying to beat Mercedes, and they think they have a better chance with the forward exhaust system. Eric Boullier, quote, says, "We believe that we still have potential on the forward exhaust, even though we have made some wrong developments at times. There are some good performance packages coming, so we will continue with it, and it's likely that we will use it to the end of the season," unquote. So, to be honest with you, I think that's a good idea. It is a bit radical, but still,
it's been effective. It was working well until they kind of tried to flip it around, and I think that they may have tried to tweak it and tweaked in the wrong direction a couple weeks back, but again, it was working better than what their forward exhaust was. So
exactly. So there you have it. Of course, this is a big weekend for F1 fans because it is Spa-Francorchamps, and it's probably, it's such an exciting track. It's a driver's track, and of course,
they're going somewhere.
That's true, too. But it is the Schumacher track where he's had the most wins of any Formula One driver ever. He started there 20 years ago this weekend.
Wow.
1991 with the 7-Up overalls and that snappy German smile, Stephen. But still, and it impressed the world on that 1991 day. So it's fascinating. Of course, that means it's going to be a big party. 20 years of Schumacher at Spa. Drinks for everyone. I believe the Jägermeister will be flowing. And you've seen those Jägermeister machines, right?
Yes, the fountains.
Yes, the Jäger fountain will be flowing, and Schumacher said he will be buying drinks for everybody.
So why aren't we in Belgium? Well, Schumacher's buying.
The budget is not good right now, Stephen. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've invested in some really bad stock.
Don't tell me that the company's stock's worthless.
It's in the red.
Oh, man.
We owe up the yin-yang.
Yeah, there goes my end-of-year vacation.
Yes, so yeah, you just cut that out. It's gone. But it's pretty exciting. And I hope we get some good television coverage. I'm sure the BBC will have some good interviews with Schumacher. And
we get a little bit of weather. Spa's always more fun with a little weather.
Yeah, and we'll never know. Maybe Schumacher will win.
You know, there's always that possibility. Not likely, but always a possibility.
Yeah, but still, his best finish so far since he's returned with Mercedes at Spa has been 7th. So, we'll see what happens. But Mercedes says they've made some progress. Of course, everybody's been on vacation. It's very cool. Everybody's very mellow. They're pumped up. And, boy, there was a lot of people on vacation in Europe. A lot of English. I ran into more British people than you could shake a stick at. Everywhere I went, Brits love France. And they were everywhere. It was great. I did drive through Le Mans, and as I was heading towards Le Mans, I realized I was going down the Mulsanne Strait.
Oh.
You know, I saw the barriers and the chicanes, and all of a sudden I realized, yes, just past Mulsanne, and I'm on the Strait, and it all came together, and the cameras started clicking. But that was fun. I enjoyed my drive through Europe. Kimi Raikkonen, back in the news, Stephen. believes that he won't have a drive in world rallying next year. Because, yeah, I mean, he hasn't made the strides that, you know, I mean, he finishes well, 7th, 6th, 5th. But, you know, right now, Ogier.
So he's going to fire himself? Doesn't he race for his own team?
Yes, but, you know, he's looking for something more machismo. So he tested the Peugeot 908 at the Aragon racetrack in España, also called Motorland.
So he's going
Le Mans.
Le Mans series?
Exactly. He saw me driving down the Mulsanne Straight, and he said, you know what? I've got to be part of this. So he's pretty
pumped
up.
That's too bad, because with Volkswagen coming back to WRC, you know, he might have been able to move himself up the ladder a little bit.
Well, Volkswagen was trying to hire Sebastian Loeb, and he said it was tempting, but turned it down. So Kimi, you know, I don't know. Kimi Raikkonen, I think he's already getting bored with that. He hasn't done any more NASCAR stuff, but I think he will.
Yeah.
Because the money's good. He likes American living. And you could eat, drink, and smoke and still be successful in NASCAR. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm glad he tested the Peugeot 908. He said it was fun. Of course, he was doing this, like I said, at the Aragon racetrack in Spain, a new track. And he was doing this alongside Frank Montagny, Stefan Sarrazin, Simon Pagenaud, and Alexander Wurz.
The three Wurz. Names in
yes. So,
European Le Mans right now.
Yeah, he covered 35 laps during the day, and Raikkonen said that he really liked testing the Peugeot 908. He said it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. I find it a lot of fun, too.
And, you know, Peugeot's not making any decisions or announcements. This test had been planned for a long, long time.
Right.
So, good for Kimi. He's getting a taste of a lot of different kinds of racing series. And I think that's what he likes to do.
I think he just likes to race. He doesn't really necessarily care what he's racing.
Well, he just hates the politics that are involved in some of the higher echelons of racing.
Well, and that goes because they are the higher echelons.
Correct.
That means more money. More money means more interference.
Correct. Let's move on to McLaren. Of course, they're pumped up. They think they can win this championship because they've won the last two races before the summer break. They have made some great steps forward. Red Bull making some mistakes, falling backwards a little bit. We'll see what's going to happen. Red Bull hasn't had too much success at Spa. On the other hand, McLaren have... And I think the team to watch will be
Ferrari,
and Force India. Force India, very strong.
Yeah,
very strong. Let's not forget the Fisichella phenomenon on pole.
Yep. Well, basically, you got to drive a Ferrari.
Yeah. So that's going to be exciting. Everybody's going to be watching, of course. Darista trying to challenge Adrian Sutil. I think that's going to be a little great game to watch. Ricciardo. Very little experience. He's going to be the one to watch at HRT. He's got to outdo Vitantonio Liuzzi. And, I don't know, you know, the stories we've been talking about at Toro Rosso, the driver, you know, are they going to can somebody? And I don't think it's going to happen. I think
not going to happen during the season this year.
I agree. I think when...
They've both been very solid. They haven't been making any dumb mistakes. You know, they've basically both gotten their feet underneath themselves after, you know, kind of a shaky season last year because their first year, you know, it's a little bit overwhelmed. But they've been pretty solid all season. And like we said, neither of them has made any dumb mistakes. And they've both been very competitive towards each other. So I don't see them axing either of them until maybe the second to last or last race of the year. Because maybe they've got somebody from the GP2 wings or somebody that they want to at least try out before next year.
Yeah. And like you said, the weather always... gets really mixed up, and Lewis Hamilton will definitely shine at Spa this weekend.
Yeah, unless, of course, Button out-strategizes him. Like,
well, you never know. There's going to be strategy. Of course, we don't know how the Pirellis are going to perform. We're going back with mediums and softs, so it is going to be fascinating if it's warm. And that's when Fernando...
It's Belgium. Is it ever warm in Belgium in August?
Sometimes it is, and the weather in Europe has been cool, but now we've turned up. There's been a lot of humid weather coming in with thunder. And he
showers.
You know, we're talking 37 centigrade. So we'll see. We might have a warm spa. Unusual, but it could happen, Steve. I haven't checked the weather, so I'm absolutely guessing right now.
I would love to see a warm spa. Belgian women in less clothing. Yay.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Also, a DRS will be banned on Eau Rouge. There was some... Steven, we don't want people to die. Eau Rouge is flat out 180 miles per hour. Used to be faster, but we don't have V10s anymore. But still, I think there were some driver concerns at some meetings, and I think it's a wise decision.
It's not unheard of. Yeah.
And quickly, yes, Ferrari will be the one to watch. But still, their thinking now is focus on 2012.
Well, I think they've got one more race. To give Fernando the opportunity, if he really can't pull anything out of the bag, then they're definitely moving to next year.
Yes, I mean, well, they trust me, they have a big team, full bore on the 2012 car, and I think we're going to see an outstanding vehicle. So, but still, no, Fernando can't shake things up, and he's got to be consistent. He's got to stay on that podium. He's been staying on the podium. He's been very precise. Ferrari has made some good strategic decisions. This is going to be a great race to watch. Trust me, Steven. It's going to be fantastical.
Fantastical.
Yeah. And even Fisichella will be watching from afar.
You sure?
Yep.
He's not going to be there?
I doubt it. Too many tears. He probably wishes he was still at Force India. But those are the things that happen when your wish comes true. So there you have it. We do have an outstanding Motorsports Mondial, so we're going to take a quick break after this brief message from Bell Auto Care.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the King of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir, and welcome back. Greetings, and the wait is almost over, regards. Today we have action from World Series by Renault at Silverstone, Grand Am from Canada, WRC from Deutschland Uber Alles, NASCAR Uber America, and some whipped cream from Wisconsin and other delights. Sir, were you able to see some motorsports action in Europa that you would normally not see here?
Well, on television, I didn't go see any live races. I did mostly family gatherings, but yes, of course.
Like Motors TV, Canal Plus, what did you see?
Just regular news in France covers GP2, Hoppe Tres, even IndyCar.
Who won the Escargot 500?
Le Chateau.
There you go. Okay, Silverstone is the first stop on Jamaica Airlines, and we be jamming with World Series by Renault. You know, at Jamaica Airlines, there are no in-flight burritos, but rum and reggae are free. And
there's also something else.
Bob Marley music?
The spleef.
Ah, sounds like you've taken the flight.
No, I will not take that flight.
Never been to Kingston Town?
No.
Okay.
I'm a conservative. Okay. I strictly drink wine and eat cheese.
Oh, wow. They say money is tight and nothing is free. Something we know here very well. Well, how wrong they all can be. Entry to all World Series by Renault events is free. So if there is a race near your town, please log on to their website and download your ticket. No charge to logging party. Now to action on the track. Three drivers apart from Daniel Ricciardo are making a strong effort to be noticed by important people in important places. They are your homeboy Jean-Éric Vannes from Paris, championship leader going into the Silverstone round, Robert Wickens, his main challenger from Toronto, and Alexander Rossi from Nevada City, California. Race 1 on Saturday saw Wiggins take pole in victory, holding off a strong challenge from Rossi, who in turn was pressured and passed by Ricciardo in the closing stages. Victory gave Wiggins lead in the championship over Verne, who had to start from pit lane after he stalled on the grid with gearbox issues and finished outside the top 10. Sunday, we had race 2. Wiggins was the winner again from pole position. Rossi was second and Ricciardo third. Then came the post-race inspection, and both Rossi and his teammate Cesar Ramos were disqualified for wheel nut infringement. The team is accused of making changes to the wheel nut for faster pit stops, but the team is appealing the decision. Now, if they reinstate Rossi in his second position, he would be third in the championship, but if they don't, then it's a big hit for him for his championship hopes. And as far as the making changes to pit stop equipment for faster pit stop, some team did that to refueling rig in 1994.
Really?
Some of us remember that, which resulted in a big fiery accident in the pits in Germania. But that's another story and part of his story. In the championship, Wiggins leads with 198 points. Verne is second with 164 points. Ricciardo is third with 125 points. And as we have mentioned, Wiggins is already in the Virgin F1 program. I followed his career since the days of Formula BMW here in the U.S., which he won. A very good talent, and I would love to see him succeed, as I would any other good talent. Now we go to Formula Renault Euro Cup. Not so long ago, Carlos Sainz Jr. was running away with the championship like the Bulls run in Pamplona. But the man from Maastricht, Robin Freins, has now extended his lead in the championship after pulling a Robert Wiggins and winning both races of the weekend, so which was very good. 2 years ago, he had scored his first motor racing victory at the same track in Formula BMW Europe Series. Freins leads with 186 points, Sainz Jr. is second on 131, and Russian Daniel Kvyat is third with 107 points. Both Sainz Jr. and Kvyat are in the Red Bull program, and Robin drives for Team Pepito. And he's a very good talent, both him and I have very high opinion of him and Mr. Sainz. WRC from Germania. This was very impressive. For the ninth year in a row, the winner was a Français named Sébastien. But this year, the last name changed from Loeb to Ogier. Loeb was leading but then had a puncture on the Panzerplatte stage. Man, what a name. Panzerplatte stage.
And the French, because a lot of the races run on old army bases.
There you go. And so the French are invading Germany for a change now. But I note with historical interest the name of the stage. And I wondered if there's a Maginot Plate stage on the Corsica rally.
Are we done here, Nas?
It's a joke.
Yes, I got that.
It's your welcome back, Joe.
I'm picking it up.
Thank you, sir.
You know, a few buzzwords here and there.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
It's called the in-house slings and arrows.
I understand. You know what? The German jokes just always fly, even when I'm in France.
Yeah.
You know, that why we have roads lined with trees in France?
Why?
So the Germans can have shade.
Oh, cool. Very nice.
Thank you.
And they love to vacation in France anyway. Right? So it was Sébastien Ogier first, Sébastien Loeb second, both in Citroën cars. Tercero was Danny Sordo in a Mini. Good to see Mini there also.
Yeah. Third
Good
place.
To see him in third.
Yeah. Very impressive.
They weren't very impressive in Finland.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's they're going to catch up, and it's part of the BMW program, so I'm sure it will succeed. Australian V8 from Queensland Raceway. This race report is very easy. Thanks to Craig Lowndes, who won all three races of the weekend in his 888 Holden, a quality product from GM Australia. Road America, American Le Mans Series. Closest ever finish of the series saw Klaus Graf and Lucas Lohr in a Lola Aston Martin win by 0.112 seconds over the Lola Mazda of Guy Smith and Chris Dyson. Also at Road America was U.S. Formula 2000 Series. The series I'm following this year with a lot of interest. What's his name? This guy who crashed at Indy, J.R. Hildebrand. He came from the series. And this year we have Petri Suvanto. This kid from Finlandia was racing in Formula BMW last year. He took his fifth victory in the rain in race two of the weekend to extend his lead in the championship. Race one was won by... On Friday, it was run on Fridays. by Spencer Pigard, and Suvanto was second in the opening race of the weekend. Final round will be fought in the streets of Baltimore on Labor Day weekend, and I'm in touch with, you know, I've always been in touch with Patrick Suvanto since I met him, nice kid, and he at one time was in the Gravity program, but I think he's pretty much on his own right now, and he is hoping to clinch the championship in Baltimore, and you know, thanks to Mazda, he gets the free ride in the Star Mazda series. So I said, man, you stick around here in the U.S. and become the first Finn to win at Indy, that'll be pretty cool. So let's see what happens down the road. Yeah, I think you mentioned this. Kimi Raikkonen may be at Le Mans next year in a Peugeot. Wow. He has done some testing in the turbo diesel car, and I think this is great because in a 24-hour race, he will get to sample 31 Baskin-Robbins flavor.
Exactly, and it's pretty warm in June.
Yeah, exactly.
And he could do a stint, go get drunk, then sober up and do another stint.
There you go. But can you imagine Kimi doing a 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. stint? He comes back into the pits and they ask him about the car and the track conditions, and he'll be like, don't know, I was sleepy. That's Kimi for you.
I was in the zone.
Yeah, and I don't know what you have against Tom Cruise, but I'm going to cover that news. Tom Cruise, under the watchful eyes of DC, drove 24 laps of Willow Springs Raceway and enjoyed his day of thunder in a Red Bull Formula One car, which was very interesting. Willow Springs Raceway, have you ever been to Willow Springs?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I've been there a few times. I used to go there when Willie T. Ribbs was racing for Dan Gurney. They would do their, you know, end of season, well, pre-season testing there.
It's a little bit like Karachi down there, actually.
It is, actually, it is. You know, I kid you not, the first time I went to Riverside, now this is 1986, and around that time I had also made a run to Modesto. The lay of land, and you know, it was not New York City, and you know, it really, even the poles were like from like 1952. It really resembled quite a bit of Karachi. But such is life. Okay, Willow Springs Raceway is located in the California desert next to Edwards Air Force Base. And Edwards Air Force Base is named after Captain Glenn Edwards, who was killed in the crash of a flying wing bomber in 1948. So, from F1 to flying, Motorsports Mondial is here to bring you the constant variety of speed, the thrill of victory, and the agony of cautions.
So you were impressed with Tom Cruise, I see?
No, it's, well, you know, all these things bring a lot of, see, it's, my thing is this, I'll give you an example. When Chime cars or Indy cars could not, even now, they cannot bring a lot of crowd into Sears Point, or when, you know, the last time they had the Chime car race, I used to go there in the late 80s and early 90s, it used to be a lot of people. The last Chime car at Laguna Seca brought in like 5,000 people. This was the official numbers. Maybe there were like 1,000. And you were there when they had the A1 GP. There were more competitors than spectators. What they should do, just as a reference, Ronnie Lott, for the ex-football player, he's very well known here. Joe Montana, if you bring people who are not in motorsport but have very wide appeal, it enhances the image, or at least raises the visibility. Yeah. More eyeballs are looking at it.
I understand, but it's an artificial insemination.
Hey, yeah, but if you can get more people to come out, you get more people to come out again the next time. You keep a small percentage of those people who weren't into it before and go, ooh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, wow. Because a lot of people get hooked on a race because they never knew there was a race there, and they see it, they like the sound, they like the pit babes, whatever they like, hot dogs maybe.
Well, I think David Coulthard like Tom Cruise, from everything I've read. That's all I got from this whole test, is David Coulthard has fallen in love with Tom Cruise. Really? And is probably going into the Scientology realm any day now.
And you're going to tell me next that Karen Minier, his lovely wife, is going to fall in love with Nicole Kidman.
Exactly.
This is getting scary.
Okay, or maybe let's with his wife, Kate.
There you go. Jenson Button. He will take part in Race of Champions in Dusseldorf in December. Two other F1 world champions will also race, and they are both from Germania. Do I need to mention that?
It's the Vettel-Schumacher team.
Schumacher. Yeah.
They love each other now.
I know.
Well, they've been teammates like 3 or 4 years in a row now.
With success.
Yeah. Gee, what a surprise that is. Mm. The inaugural Indian Grand Prix now has a connection with a major sponsor, Bharti Airtel, the fifth largest telecom operator in the world, with over 207 million subscribers in 19 countries. So it's good for them. And actually, they dropped the sponsorship of the Indian cricket program to go into motor racing.
Wow, that's huge, because the Indian cricket program is pretty massive.
Yeah, it is, and it's very popular there. Nick Heidfeld, your hero, being replaced at Renault should not be a surprise because of the... I mean, the guy still has more points than Petrov, so he didn't do too bad of a job, but certainly did not deliver as was expected.
Well, like I told Stephen earlier in the program, they were looking for a leader, a machismo, and we know what that means when I say machismo, and he didn't deliver.
You mean Nick Heidfeld did not bring 6'10"?
No, not 2'10".
Oh, that's pretty bad. Being replaced by Bruno Senna should also not come as a surprise after Jenny Capital merged their operations with a Brazilian company called Worldwide Investments, which is not to be confused with David Letterman's company, Worldwide Pants, and that's the name of his production company.
Correct.
Since money is tight at Renault F1 team and Jenny Capital, don't be surprised if you see Gerard Lopez running around the F1 paddock in shorts. I think the party is over for Jenny Capital and the Renault team they brought. They're having some issues money-wise. And I read the late before coming here that, you're not going to believe this, Force India team was unable to make payroll last month. Force India, which is owned by a billionaire. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, some of these things... it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, and this company apparently has a lot of capital, this Brazilian company. So, obviously, just like Pastor Maldonado, Bruno must have brought Buco Bucks or Cruzeiros or whatever they're using there these days. So, that's the way motor racing is. But I think, you know, the Spa race is this weekend, and the Italian is, I believe... within a week or two?
Correct. September 12th, I believe.
Yeah, okay. And that is the final round of the GP2 series. And there's a chance Romain Grosjean may wrap up the championship at Spa. If that happens, smart thing for them would be to put Romain Grosjean in the car, because he really is their future, if there is a future for that team. But there will be a future. It could be in a different form or something. You know, Eric Bouye come across as a pretty nice guy. I mean, you know, I've heard from fairly reliable sources that he's not well liked at Enstone. And when was the last time a Frenchman running a British Formula team worked out? Italian team, maybe, not a British team.
Like I said before, I don't know about this French and Anglo thing, but
there are issues there.
They need Flavio.
Yeah, but he's Sicilian.
Yeah.
But I think
he'll
be coming
in exile.
Yeah, he's coming back sooner or later.
Exactly. I think he should come back with Ferrari.
Yeah, no.
Flavio. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
No. Cruco. More like.
Shabash?
No. This is negative Shabash.
Negative Shabash?
Yeah.
And
wow. Is that like antimatter?
Yeah, something like that. No, I mean, Ferrari is such a prestigious name, and to have some guy who was kicked out for what he did at Renault, then he should not be allowed back. Yeah, too much of a liability. What's your deal with him? Why are you? Oh, I understand.
What?
Hey, well, there's a love going on between Nando and Flavio. That's the real
drama.
They
win championships.
Oh, yes. That was a long time ago, Mr. Rogers. Things have changed. Change. Okay, anyway, Tony Fernandez, owner of Lotus F1 team AirAsia, is now also owner of English football team Queen's Park Rangers after paying Bernie $61 million for his 66% shareholding. I think the goal remains success in Formula One. And, you know, just a final word on Flavio. Somebody once made a comment, very, very interesting, that Flavio came to motor racing from no motor racing background.
Correct.
You know, he was working in New York, selling Benetton stuff.
Colors of Benetton.
Yeah, the United Colors of Benetton.
Pardonnez-moi.
Yeah, and there's comment made that he succeeded in Formula One because he listened to Bernie Ecclestone. And all the people who hang around Bernie have been there for a long time. Okay, moving on. Hopefully star of the future, Richie Stanaway. He will make his GP3 debut this weekend at Spa with ART Grand Prix team, which is co-owned by Nicola Todd. Stanaway is from New Zealand and last year won the ADAC Formula Master Championship and currently leads the German F3. And as I'm a big fan of another New Zealand driver, Mr. Long-haired Brendan Hartley, you know, he's now in World Series by Renault and not even in the top three, four. It's just, I don't know what has happened there. No. That's one kid who should come. He has the speed. I think he should try his luck in Indy cars. And I think him and Danica Patrick going out for dinner, holding hands, that'll be quite a pair there. What say you?
I'm not sure about Brendan Hartley. Very disappointing. He's dropped the ball.
Yes.
He's probably got some issues, you know.
Personal issues?
Personal issues.
You know, that's what I've always thought. I've thought of the guy who was so quick and something has happened.
Yeah.
That is just not clicking, you know. But, you know, these things happen.
But, you know, Danica has not returned my friend's request on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know. It's not working out.
Yeah, okay. MotoGP news. Honda, the owner of Twin Ring Motegi, is suggesting their Japanese MotoGP race be moved to their other track, the amazing Suzuka Circuit. Some riders are concerned about radiation level at Motegi and may not take part in the race there. The first who was gung-ho, I'm not going to go, is Casey Stoner, but now looks like he might go, but now Rossi is saying he may not go. Suzuka has not hosted a MotoGP race since the death of Japanese rider Daijiro Kato there in the 2003 Japanese MotoGP. Pretty vicious accident, unfortunately. And this just in from Mr. Brazier late in the day. I received a link from him to Joe Saver's blog from Ye saying Willie T. Ribbs, my old buddy, will race in the Baltimore Indy Lights race to raise awareness of his Indy Lights team. So that's good for him.
Wow. Is Willie T still in tip-top physical condition?
Well, he's for sure to make a NASCAR debut, but he's gone.
Willie?
Yeah. Well, in NASCAR, you have to be like 300 pounds in minimum 55 years. And you qualify.
That's beautiful, man.
And I think he meets those requirements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, let me tell you, talking about him and NASCAR, what happened in 19... No, it was like, I think it was in like late 70s, 77, 78, he went to England. That's where he did his initial racing and won the Formula Ford Championship there. And shortly after that, he was invited by Humpy Wheeler, of all the people.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. He was going to put him a program together to race a car, and then it just, you know, what happened late one night, and this is a true story, Mr. Ribbs, as brash as he is, and we're talking now late 70s or early 80s, he got caught for speeding, going wrong way on a one-way street. And he was always on the Montoya Paul Tracy program. He's going to say what he wants to say. So it became a scene with the local police, and some guy even wrote a song which was played on the station. It was called Wrong Way Willie T. So not the finest moment in his career, but, you know, these things happen. And so let's see what happens. Now we go to the Irish Hills of Brooklyn, Michigan for...
Le NASCAR.
Thank you. Track was once the property of Roger Penske. The race was won by Kyle Busch. A fourth victory of the season secures a spot in the chase for the lad from Las Vegas, and his driving license has now been suspended for a few weeks for driving his, you know, this Lexus new car, LFA or whatever it's called. I think it has the Formula One engine or something derived from the Formula One engine. He was driving at like over 120 miles per hour in a 35-mile zone, so he said he is very sorry. Jimmy Johnson was second and local lad Brad Keselowski was third. And if I'm not mistaken, Keselowski drives for Mr. Penske. That's what he calls him, Mr. Penske. And Mr. Penske is from Shaker Heights, Ohio, and now lives in a, I'm sure it's a palatial house in Bloomfield Hills in Michigan. Have you ever been to Michigan?
Not that I recall.
Yeah, I've been to the Detroit IndyCar race a few times, but you know one place I really, really want to go? It's the Henry Ford Museum. I am told it's just fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. No, serious stuff. It has Jim Clark's, you know, Lotus, and it has the vehicle in which JFK was shot, but a lot of Americana motor history, which is pretty, you know, long and pretty impressive. But it's definitely one of my must-do things before
maybe
I
kick... Maybe we'll go together, Nasser.
Before I kick the Coleman. No, I'm seriously very interested in going there. And that's another thing I need to do, you know. I definitely would like to make a few runs, some few places, both in the U.S. and overseas. non-motorsports. I mean, this is still motor, but not motorsports. And I'm sure they have their Ford GT40 car. And you know how much I love those vehicles. So we'll see. Maybe, you know, we should someday put together like a go-to, like fly to Michigan and put together like a small minibus or a minivan tour with F1 Weekly and go to a couple of
And we could serve Finlandia.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll see what we can do. There you go. Okay, now this is very interesting. This is how competitive NASCAR is. You know, people like you, parents just don't understand, and Clark Rosses just don't understand. Montoya finished only 4.7 seconds behind the winner, and he was 25th. Now, that's racing.
Wow.
What was it, like a green-white checker?
They all
ending
are.
Of the race?
They all are. They all are these days. Competition yellow, and you can count on it. If the race is going on green, 10 laps to go, you know there's going to be a caution. And then once there's a caution, as they always say, caution breeds caution. So there you have it. We should maybe do a run to Fontana for the NASCAR race.
We should.
Yeah. It's. I'll tell you, man, when I went to the IndyCar IRL race some years ago there, the track is right by a highway, and I will never forget this, that we took the exit, you know, to this track, and the cars in the exit lane were moving faster than the highway. Oh, there were hardly any people. I mean, there were some people, but a very, very, this was definitely not a major sporting event in America. You know, normally you're stuck in traffic and all that. That was pretty sad. But things will improve, hopefully. Randy Bernard will whip a few cowboy buddies and they'll come and do a rodeo show. And everybody will be happy. Okay, now we go to Montreal for the track near Jean Drapeau Metro Station. The Grand Am race was won by Alex Gurney and John Fogarty ahead of Max Angelelli and Ricky Taylor, the two youths we recently interviewed. David Donahue and Darren Law came in third. This was interesting. In the nationwide race there, Jacques Villeneuve took pole position and led most laps at the track named in memory of his dad. Jacques would go on to finish 27th, and we all know who made that number famous in Formula One. Australian Marcus Ambrose won the race after starting from the back of the grid. Local yokel Alex Tagliani was second. Miss Danica Patrick had some brake issues but still finished a solid 24th. I have good news for her. You know, she did not respond to your Facebook thingy. Maybe you can just send her a message. Peter Windsor is back at Speed TV, and he knows all about Hitco, Brembo, and Carbon Industries. I think he should start his own brake consulting company based in North Carolina called US Brake One. I rest my case and now put the Ray Bestos brakes on Motorsports Mondial. And with that, it's time for our friend in Australia, Loosh, who is spending some quality time in jolly old England to put on his top gear in a segment we call Byfield's Bypass. Thank you, Loosh, and thank you, listeners, esteemed members of the F1 Weekly functional and dysfunctional family.
Thanks, NAS, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Welcome to the Byfield Bypass from Australia. I'm Lucien Byfield, but you can call me Loosh. This month, I want to talk about debut Formula One wins for the 10 current winners on the grid. It would be 11, but Robert Kubica misses out as he's not there this year. Now, to determine whether a debut win was worthy or not requires analysing a few important factors, and they are things like the teammate, the car, the weather, luck, and qualifying. Now, I'm going to analyse what I believe is the pecking order in terms of bragging rights for the best debut wins amongst these 10 drivers. This is my opinion, and I'm sure many will disagree, but I have analysed many of the above factors and have surprised myself with the outcome. With Heikki Kovalainen, well, he was lucky. Massa and Hamilton, well, they were having big troubles, weren't they? Jenson Button, Alonso would have won, but still a great drive. Schumacher, well, we had Mansell and Senna having trouble, and the lucky pit stop that proved to be the gamble was actually initiated by a mistake, so very lucky. With Lewis Hamilton, well, his teammate was having so much trouble, and it was really no one else to challenge on the day, so it was a formality. When Fernando won for the first time, he had a Michelin tire advantage, and most of his rivals were having issues of some kind. Jano Trulli, well, he did dominate at Monaco, but certain rivals were taken out, and Jensen would have won, I think, had it been on a passable track. And Sebastian Vettel, amazing in the wet, but, well, again, his rivals weren't really doing much, so he wasn't having to fight drivers as much as conditions. So, that leads me to my top three. Now, Rubens Barrichello is third for me. This one's right up there for sure. Terrible qualifying, 18th, mixed race conditions, and tears on the podium all made that first win for Barrichello very special. But Schumacher was out at the start, and McLaren got a pit stop wrong for DC, and then there was the on-track invasion from a disgruntled former Mercedes employee. Well, that changed the face of the race. So there was luck, but Rubens sticking to slicks is really what did it when others stayed on wets in wet conditions. Number two for me is Mark Webber. He had pole, made a poor start and got a drive-through for hitting Rubens, yet had built up a decent enough lead to ensure that as Massa held up most of the field, he could make up the loss. Now, he was lucky. Rubens was having issues and somehow didn't have the pace to win on the day, and Massa did hold some of the people up behind. Number one for me, Felipe Massa. Another first pole converted to first win, but this was special as it was against Schumacher and Alonso, the two title rivals that year. The Ferrari was one of the top two cars, with Renault and Ferrari swapping again and again for supremacy. But, despite a car advantage, unlike a lot of other first-time winners, Massa actually had to fight all the way to the flag with Schumacher and Alonso on his heels. Also, had Schumacher got past Alonso, team orders would have prevented him from winning. So, even though in general Felipe Massa was wild, erratic and not consistent, by the mid-year in 06 when he won, he was combining speed with controlled aggression and at times looked amazing, like a champion. This was not a win down to luck or weather or conditions. This was an incredibly dominant drive against two of the hottest drivers on the day. So Felipe Massa is the man for debut wins. But who's next? Rosberg, De Resta, maybe Kobayashi? Well, that's all for this month. See you again.
And now let's go right to the wrap-up. San Francisco Formula One group. They meet, they drink, and they have a great time during the Formula One season. Check them out at SFF1.com. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend or simply like us. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email me at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for f1weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport. A blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.
A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. This moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Know you want to. Keep up the good work, Steven, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Steve.